Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. And then we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 17. And we're going to read a couple verses of scripture there. If you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right, we'll give you another moment. And if you're seated by somebody who doesn't have a Bible, share with them or let them know it's on the screen. And Matthew's in the New Testament. And the word of the Lord says, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or withal shall we be clothed? That's a lot of important stuff there, eating and drinking and being clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of some of these things. All of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and some of these things will be added unto you. Is that what it says? All. Is that, Sister Christie, is that what it says? It says all, right? All. Somebody say all.
All.
Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And then my scripture focus for tonight, Jeremiah 17 and 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. That's pretty serious stuff. But notice verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. I like verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his neighbor's doings.
His.
Just say in your Bible. His doings. Doesn't say your neighbor's doings. Right? We're always worried about everyone else. Well, some people are. Shouldn't say everybody. But the fruit of his doings. And so I'm going to talk to you tonight on the seeds of stewardship. Time, talent, treasure. And I'm going to focus tonight on the talent and on the time. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Over the next 4 weeks, it's technically five because we have a business meeting in between. I'll teach this week. Brother Drozic, our assistant pastor, will teach next week. I'll come back and teach, and then he'll close it out on this topic. And it'll be different in some ways, and it might be overlapping. That probably means because we need to hear it again. And so, but a seed is something that goes into the ground, and it produces whatever that seed is. And a seed is something that we get our much of our food from. And a seed is a place of beginning. A seed is a source. A seed is an offspring. Stewardship is a person who acts as the surrogate of another by managing time, property, ministries, resources, finances, talents, treasures that has been entrusted to them. Now, there's a popular a business series called the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And Covey is the, thank you for those that helped me there for a second. Covey is the, Stephen Covey is the inventor or the person that came up with it. It's a class, it's a leadership class, it's business principles. And there's seven of them. And in fact, there's a book about it. And I had the privilege of going through it twice and helped teach portions of it. But there's seven topics. And I'm not going to talk about those seven topics. But even in the secular world, they're on their right track, Brother Eduardo, because the third principle is first things first. And we know as apostolic Pentecostal believers or just Christians in general that first things first is not the third step. It's the first step. So they almost got it. They got it in there, but they have it at number three. And then they go down to synergy at the end and listen to understand before you listen to be understood and all these principles. But number three, Brother Robert, is first things first. And we know that first things first is number one, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I want to make something very clear in this sermon series here. The first lesson is that God wants to be number one. Not only does he want to be number one, he needs to be number one. And in fact, everything belongs to God. And there's Bible for that. If we look at Psalms 24 and 1, the scripture says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So he needs to be number one. We need to put God first, and everything belongs to God. And I know this sounds very basic and very elementary, but I assure you, I promise you, that there's Christians and people all over the world that are having a hard time with this concept. And I even would say it's not a concept, it's a revelation. Once you get the revelation that what you have is not yours, it's the Lord's. And the first point I'm going to make tonight is time belongs to God. Benjamin Franklin says, you may delay, but time will not. Time is a prescribed or allotted period as of one's life. Time is something that we want, we need, and we can't get enough of. In fact, we've all been given the same amount of time throughout the day as everyone else in the world. Everybody has had 24 hours today, or is soon to have 24 hours. We're just a few hours away from us today having 24 hours. Jesus taught about time in the parables, and there's something that he has made to have us known, is that time has been entrusted to us. In fact, the Bible calls us stewards. And there is one requirement of a steward. And that is in 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's the only requirement, is that you're faithful. Not that you're wishy-washy, not that you're a one-hit wonder, not that you start out like the rabbit and run fast, and not that you have the greatest ideas. It's that you're faithful, that you're consistent, that you're reliable, that you're dependable, that you're not here today and gone tomorrow. And let me share something with you, that you are faithful what has been entrusted to you. The store manager of Target is not the owner of Target. He's the manager of Target. He's the manager of a multi-million dollar business with thousands of people that come into that store with 100 or 2 or maybe in some 300 employees, but millions of dollars of inventory, but they're in charge, but they're not the owner. In fact, the CEO of Target is not the owner of Target. They're the manager. You're the manager of your time. Yeah. You've been entrusted with time, and only because this is a sermon series, and I'll start just kind of the principle. But how many of you would like $86,400 every day in your bank account, and whatever you don't spend, you lose it, but you get every morning you wake up, you would get $86,400 in your bank account. How many would like that? Brother Sam wouldn't want that. He's got all the money in the world. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And can I tell you something? What you would get that money every single day for the rest of your life, and whatever you didn't spend, you lost. And you would have to use it wisely. You would have to invest it. You couldn't save it for the next day, because you had to spend whatever it was. And you could spend it on whatever you wanted. Pretty cool, huh? Do you know that you get 86,400 seconds every single day? And how are you spending that? Because you don't get to take some of that time tomorrow. You're not even guaranteed you're going to be here tomorrow. Yeah. And God's given us a stewardship of time. We're the manager of our time. We get to manage. You didn't know you were a man. You didn't know that you were a CEO of your time. You thought, well, I'm just a blue collar worker. No, you're the CEO of your time. You need to be a good steward. As stewards, we don't own our time. We don't own our talent. We don't own our treasure. Everything belongs to God. And I know we walk around, Brother Philip, and I do the same thing. Don't waste my time. Come on, you're taking too much time. Get out of the car. I've said that like maybe once today on the way to church. But when you stop and take a moment to realize that time belongs to God, and you're a lot of the time, you're the manager of time, it changes everything. Let me give you some scripture. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I'm going to read it to you in the New Living Translation. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. You're the manager of your time. Some have been given a lot of time. Others a short amount of time. But God has entrusted us to be stewards of our time. Romans 14 and 12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So those of you that are busybodies and know-it-alls and worried about everyone else, here's a scripture for you. You're going to give an account of yourself for God. Somebody say, oh my. Have you ever met some, I haven't said this in a while, like maybe in 2 weeks, but have you ever met, do you know somebody that knows somebody that does nothing all day long? Like literally nothing. It's not because it's their day off or because they're sick, but it's just that they're lazy. That's just no way around it. They do nothing. Guess what? That's not being a good steward of their time. In fact, Proverbs 13 and 4 says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent man shall be made fat. Amen. Don't be a sluggard. Be diligent. You say, oh, we're going to be overweight. Well, hey, the scripture says in the New Living Translation, lazy people want much but get little. But those who work hard will prosper. That's what it's all about. We're sowing seeds of stewardship. You cannot sow bad habits and expect something good. You have to sow something good and expect something good. God will honor His word, but His word is true. And we have to ensure that we're planting seeds that will be sustainable, that will be pleasing to God, and everything belongs to the Lord. Nothing is yours. You're just the manager. And what about folks that quit stuff? You say, well, you know, now you're picking on me. I'm just saying we got to be good stewards on our jobs. We're stewards of the Lord. You say, well, I just, you don't know my boss. You don't know the owner. You know, they don't treat me well. Hey, you work for the Lord. Sow good seed. God has a way of changing circumstances for you. I remember, goodness, 18 years ago, working for a company. I'll tell you the company. It was Ross Dress for Less. And I was in charge of all the Ross Dress for Less from Santa Barbara all the way to, Paso Robles. And all the ones from Bakersfield to Modesto. I was in charge of all those. And I remember I had just got this position and we were newlyweds. Or maybe this might have been 17 years ago. And they were doing a restructure. And I was the guy at the bottom of the chart, you know. The newest one there is usually the first one to go. And they were doing a restructure. And Brother Philip, you know, I was at a district level position and they said, we're gonna start all over. And I'm like, goodness, I'm gone for sure. And they said, but we're gonna give everyone a chance. You got 90 days to prove yourself. I said, well, man, I'm gonna prove myself. You know, I got 90 days to keep my job. I'm gonna do it. I only been there for like a year or so. Wasn't there that long at that time. And so I just did what I did. I worked and I went to church and we were youth leaders at that time and we lived in Fresno and we drove into Kerman, which was about 17 miles one way. And we started Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So prayer was at 6:30. And so, you know, that's kind of tough. And so, but we did it. And I made sure that I was at where I needed to be so I could be at church on time on Wednesdays. And I was like, everyone else is working overtime and I get out of church and I have messages. Hey, we've been trying to get a hold of you. And my peers are saying, they're going to let you go, bro. You should be working extra. You know, you're crazy. I'm like, hey, it is what I got to go to church, man. Everybody knows I go to church. Call me a Bible thump or whatever it is, but I'm going to church. This, you know, I'm not working all day long. I work to live. I don't live to work. You know, this is just part of what I do. And can I tell you, I was the only one that they kept in my area. The only single one. You know why? I believe because I kept first things first. I was faithful to the Lord. And God will do the same thing for you because I was sowing seeds of stewardship. Notice something. The Apostle Paul dealt with folks in his day that would quit. In fact, 2 Timothy 4:10 says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." The New Living Translation says, "Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of life." And so what I make a point with this is that there's always going to be folks in your life that they're not going to endure. They're in for a season. They come and go. They're not sowing seeds of stewardship. What they're doing is they're just taking the fruit that's already there. But what we are, apostolic Pentecostal believers, we sow seeds of stewardship. We want to ensure we put in the ground that something can grow and we can thrive from that. We can have revival in our homes, in our time, with our talents, with our finances. And the scripture says, whatsoever we do in deed or word, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. A big part of stewardship is trust. Think about that. If you're taking notes, write this down. A big part of stewardship is trust. Somebody, if you're, let's just take, for example, the church. If you have a church key, myself or Bishop or the leadership of this church has trusted you with the key to the facility. This is a $1 million facility. We've entrusted you with the key. And think about that. The Lord has entrusted you with talents and with time. Some of you have a lot of talents. Some of you have a lot of time. What are we doing with our time and talents? Think about that. See, some of us, the biggest talent we have is our not our ability. What about our availability? See, there's a lot of people. Think about it. Think about Jonathan, Solomon's son. He could have been the king. We could write a story of the king that could have been, Jonathan. Because of his father, Saul, did not plant a good seed. He did not practice obedience. Remember the scripture, obedience is better than sacrifice. That's because of Saul's disobedience. And that affected his legacy. Saints of God, we got to plant good seeds of time, of talent, and treasure so we can build a legacy of stewardship, not only at Revival Tabernacle, but in our homes. How many of you want to be blessed and you want your children to be blessed and your grandkids to be blessed? We got to plant some seeds of stewardship. There's trees today that we're picking fruit from, literally in our backyards, our neighborhood. Somebody planted. We don't know who those people are. You bought a house or you're living in a house and somebody planted an orange tree. You don't know who put it there. 20 years it's been there giving oranges. Guess what? You're reaping the benefits of a seed that somebody put in the ground. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. There are two types of people. Those that put their trust in humans and those that put their trust in God. I want to be one of those folks that put my trust in God. Another point tonight is take accountability. Be accountable for your time, your talent, your treasures, and your actions in relation to them. Regardless of what your time and your talent or your treasure is. And when I say treasure, I'm referring to finances. Have a plan and a purpose with your time and your talent. Accountability is not a bad thing. If you've been in the secular world or you're on your job, you say, wow, we need to hold these people accountable. But accountability is not a bad thing. Accountability means to be answerable. We need to be answerable. The state of being liable. Luke 16:10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." We should be able to take a look at where we were, where we are, and where we're headed, and we should see some growth. I'd rather have a few setbacks and take a look and say, you know what? I moved and I progressed, instead of take a look back and say, I just stayed right in the same spot and I didn't even try to take a step forward. I want to put a seed of stewardship in the ground. Notice something. If something is important to you or important to someone that you care or love for, then it shows by your actions, by your behaviors, and by your life. We will be accountable, the scripture says, for everything we do and say, good or bad. Think about that. We need to choose to take charge of our time to the best of our ability. If you don't manage the day, somebody else will. Don't let the day get out in front of you and take control of you. You seize the day. You take opportunity for the day. I want to spend time doing the things that matter to God, that matter to my family, that matter to the church. It's real simple. The scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But Jeremiah tells us that blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. That we're going to be able to sprout out and be like a tree. Psalms 1:1 says that we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We don't want our tree to die and to be withered away like the fig tree that the Lord Jesus, that he called out and he cursed. I want seeds of stewardship. I want to be accountable unto the Lord. Amen. Notice this. When you become accountable to God, you don't worry and you don't care about trying to please man. In fact, the scripture tells us in Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or else he would hold the one and despise the other. You know that if you're going to take care of spiritual things, God will bless you. God will take care of you. In fact, God will ensure that you have plenty of time throughout the day to get things done if you put him first. Well, you say, Pastor, I'm not a morning person. That's not what I'm saying. I'm a morning person, and I've been that way, and I know me. I couldn't wait till the end of the day to do my devotion and pray, because, man, once I get on the couch, I'm done. Especially if my belly's full, I'm out like a light. It's over. So I know me. In order for me to be saved, in order for me to grow, in order for me to get to heaven, and to be ready to preach and to teach and to lead this church, I got to do it first and early. That's me. Some of you can stay up all night. More power to. I know people. I got friends. They can stay up. Brother Wisnet, he can stay up all night long and get up and keep going. He's like the Energizer Bunny for days and weeks. But Pastor Panero, I stay up a couple hours past 11 o'clock, and the next day I'm sick. You're going to see me in the hospital. That's just, I'm wired. But you got to know yourself and say, I want to plant seeds of stewardship. What do I got to do to ensure that I plant a tree that will be sustainable, that will be pleasing to God, and that will bear fruit? Somebody say amen. Amen. Notice this. He who gives money gives some. He who gives time gives more. And he who gives of himself gives all. And we know one that gave of himself, and he gave all. James 4:14 tells us, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and that. When the Lord walked on the earth, he made time for people. He taught them. He healed them. He fed them. He served them. It wasn't all about him, but it was all about him. What about us? Are we teaching others? Well, I don't have time. I beg to differ. Are we feeding them? Are you serving them? Because Jesus made time for others. It was all about the kingdom. And in fact, he said something very profound. He said, follow me. And if we're followers of the Lord, if we claim to be Christians, furthermore, if we're apostolic Pentecostal, because we trace our roots right back to the Acts chapter 2, we need to be followers of him. Seeds of stewardship ought to be not once a year or something we think about, but it ought to be in our DNA of who we are and what we do. Notice something in Genesis, something that's just, I was sitting there reading on the couch the other night, and it just stuck out at me as I started preaching to my family. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Somebody say dominion. Dominion. Over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. Notice he created male and female. I'll just throw that in there. Notice verse 28. And God blessed them. Right from the beginning, God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful. That's powerful. Multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish, over the fowl. And notice this, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Notice this. Genesis 2 and 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress. That means to work, to serve, and to worship. When you break down that word dress, it means to work, serve, or worship. So the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. When you break down that word keep, it's in the Hebrew, it means shamar. To look after, to guard it, to protect it, to attend it. That means it took work. Adam gives us an example of what a steward should do or should have been. But he also gives us an example of what not to do. To be disobedient. Notice this. Adam was a steward and managed what God had entrusted to him. The garden. Notice Genesis 2 and 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Yeah. You ever wonder why a turkey's called a turkey? And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all. Adam gives us an example of stewardship. But it says that he was to have dominion. Dominion means to prevail, to rule, or to reign. You should be ruling or reigning over your time. But sometimes we're not. Time should not be something that you're afraid of or you let run wild and not manage it. Some of us have allowed time to hinder your family time, your relationships, your salvation, and your faith. We got to plant seeds of stewardship. You take tomato seeds, you put them in the ground, you get tomatoes. You put bad habits, you put it in the ground, you get bad habits. You get lying and cheating, you put it in the ground, you get lying and cheating. You reproduce what you put in the ground. We want to plant seeds of stewardship so we can reproduce the blessings of God. Because the requirement of a steward is what? To be faithful. That means faithfulness. You do it whether you like it or not. You stick with it. You don't quit. You just keep going. Time's a gift from God. Time well spent with God will benefit you in all aspects of your life. In fact, I'm a believer and I've seen this proven in my life, both in the church and out of the church and the secular world. You be a good steward of your time. God will make sure, and you make sure that with that time, you have personal devotion, faithful church attendance, faithfulness in your worship, ministry involvement, utilization of your talents for God. God will ensure that the due dates are met, projects are completed, you won't stay behind, you won't be forgotten, you'll get promoted. It just happens because God takes care of you. Hey, you say, well, so you say, Pastor, I got to take 20 minutes out of my day, at least 20 minutes out of your day. That's not even 10% of the time that God has given you. Come on. 24 minutes is like 1% of the time. So take something, take the challenge this year and say, I'm going to tithe on my time every single day and do something for the Lord. Well, I like Proverbs 16 and 7. I've been on this thing for a while on Proverbs, but notice Proverbs 16 and 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh his enemies to be at peace with him. That's pretty powerful and profound. So if you got a lot of enemies, maybe you're not pleasing the Lord. Just think about that. Start pleasing the Lord. Maybe your enemies will be at peace with you. But you have to sow seeds of stewardship. Notice the Lord told Adam to subdue. That means to bring into subjection. Adam was given the responsibility of keeping the garden and bringing dominion. He was also given the task of subduing it. Bringing into subjection means to be submissive, to be an overcomer, to positively conquer and keep under control. There's some things in our lives that we need to bring under submission or subdue with the seeds of stewardship. If you're going to be blessed. Selfish ambitions? You're not going to be blessed if you have selfish ambitions. You could be a self-starter. You can be a motivator. You could be not a people person. And that's fine. And there's folks in here and there's folks in the Bible that were that way. Jeremiah was a loner and he obviously had a lot of influence, but he was a loner, wasn't married, didn't have kids, and God used him and blessed him. But you cannot have selfless ambitions where it's all about self, because remember, everything belongs to God. The my way or the highway attitude, it's not your way or the highway. You better check yourself, because it's not. Maybe God's putting you through some things, or he's gonna remember, he'll pull the carpet out from with underneath you. He'll pull the plug on your oxygen tank of life. And then you're sitting in a hospital bed wondering, what did I accomplish? And everything you're so proud of, you're not gonna take it with you. Well, seeds of stewardship. Oh, I'm gonna do my own thing. Nobody's gonna tell me what to do. I've already put my time in. I don't feel like it. I don't need to be in charge. I can do better. I'm more qualified. You are more qualified, but you got a bad attitude. You're not faithful. The seeds of stewardship. Well, say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Galatians 6 and 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I like this part. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You notice the things of the flesh and evil and the devil? They're bad. They're selfish. Thank you. You know, the wages of sin is death. For he that soweth in the flesh of the flesh reap corruption. Yeah. But he that soweth in the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life and salvation.
Amen.
Sow seeds of stewardship. The next point tonight. I'm trying to hurry. Plant seeds that will grow. Don't plant seeds that are not sustaining or realistic. Write this down. Consider the legacy you're going to leave. What kind of legacy are you going to leave? Excuse me. We have to ensure that in all of our doing, planning, preparing, saving, learning, coming, going, enjoyment, that we seek you first. That's what it's got to be. Remember, God wants to be first. He needs to be first. And everything belongs to him. And we need to plant seeds of stewardship. You've heard me talk about it before. And I know we've had lots of new families in the church. And so I'm just going to give you an abbreviated version. But my family and I, we pray every night before we go to bed. We have, I don't know, it's a big ordeal. When I say, we like, hey, it's time to pray. And so the dog comes running into the room, and it's kind of, you know, it's just one of those things. And then we pray on the way to school. Whoever takes Michaela to school, we pray in the car, usually in the parking lot, in between listening to Adventures in Odyssey, we'll say a prayer. And part of that is because I'm trying to plant seed of prayer. Because if I don't teach her, even though she goes to a Christian school, they're not going to teach her the way I'm going to teach her, the way that, and they do a good job, but I'm the parent, right? And I'm going to teach her, and I'm going to show her. And it's the same thing with seeds of stewardship. At best, we'll do this once a year, at best. Guess what? We cannot, and we get an hour on Wednesdays if we're pushing it, and I do my best to have us out walking out the door 8:45, 9 o'clock to be a good steward of our time, right? Not be disrespectful, because everybody's got to get up and you're sick and things happen. Sundays is a different story. But guess what? We got to plant seeds of stewardship that our kids and our grandkids, that they could see that what we have is not because we worked hard, had a good job, or because dad was smart, or because we got an inheritance. What we have, what we don't have, it doesn't matter. We are stewards. God will bless us. God will honor his word. We do the right thing whether people are doing it or not. It's not about what you accumulate. The scripture says, what doeth profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I want seeds of stewardship. It takes time. When you put a seed in the ground, even if you buy a jumbo pack at Osh for $3, you put it in the ground, you're not going to get tomatoes in the first 3 months. It's going to take time. This takes time. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes who you are. Some of you have learned seeds of stewardship 20 years ago because your mom or your grandparents taught you. Saints of God, it's the same thing. It takes time. Don't be discouraged. Don't say, well, God's against me. I made bad decisions. I don't know what I'm doing. Pastor, I'm a failure. This takes time. It takes a process. The scripture says, he that endureth until the end. Not that he that gets to the finish line first. It's an endurance. He that endureth until the end. Notice this. Establish practical goals. If you're not a morning person, don't say, oh, I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock every morning and I'm going to work out and I'm going to pray and I'm going to read my Bible. And then by lunchtime, your boss is like, you're fired. You're out of here. You know, you're drinking 3 energy drinks by 10 o'clock. That's not being a good steward. No way. That's not. Life's a marathon. Break things down into small steps. If your goal is to run a 5K and you haven't ran in 10 years and you don't even have a pair of tennis shoes, don't put on flip-flops and try to run around the block real fast. You're going to get a heart attack. Start off slow. Say amen, somebody. If you have a tendency of being impulsive and unstable, don't sign up to lead a million-mile march. Volunteer to do something else so that your time or seed can grow and be productive. Psalm 90 tells us, teach us to number our day so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The psalmist is telling us that we need to be careful to calculate what we do and what our purpose is. Listen, what we plant, and I've said it 1,000 times, will grow. Whatever we put in the ground is what we will reap. If the seeds of stewardship are not godly, faithful, and God first, then the reaping will be carnal, unfaithful, sporadic, sinful results. That's what it's going to be. If you have time or can allot time for extracurricular activities, to go to the gym, which is great. I probably need to go with you. Vacations, go out to dinner, to sleep in, to go to conferences, work overtime, take the kids to judo, take them to piano lessons, clear your schedule when somebody comes over. But you cannot, or I'd rather say, you won't make time to take your kids to Friday night youth, attend a men's gathering, bring them to Sunday school. 10 midweek Bible study, you're here. Go to choir practice. Commit to your schedule. You're not sowing seeds of stewardship. Neither will you reap the blessings of God. Not. If our salvation, our faithfulness, repentance, our tithing, our offering, our church attendance, holiness, faithful and stewardship to God are not at the top of the list, and God isn't number one, you are doomed. Gotta have seeds of stewardship. If the musicians will come. I'm not trying to raise a star piano player. I'm not trying to raise a kung fu ninja. I'm trying to raise a Christian follower of Christ. I'm trying to get her to heaven. Same thing here. I'm not trying to build a mega church. I'm not. I want to outgrow this building. Yeah, I want to start churches across the Central Coast. Yeah, but guess what? I want to get to heaven. And I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant or steward. Don't you want to hear those words? Well done, that you got all this, you accumulated, but guess what? You did this, this, and this. And what does he say? Depart from me. What does it say? I never knew you. Not that, yeah, I think I kind of resemble you, kind of, you know. No, he says, I never knew you. Not that, you know, you meet somebody, you're like, God, we go to school together. He's like, depart. I never knew who you were. Seeds of stewardship. Let's be realistic. Yeah, folks that aren't realistic. Let me tell you something. This is a seed. Gets in the ground and then it grows. It grows. Ephesians 5 and 15 as we stand. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. The last point. Quit procrastinating. Yeah. I know that's a big word. But procrastination is killing people. There will never be a more perfect time or opportunity than today to do what you need to do. If you're going to lose weight, do it now. Don't wait till next week. If you're going to be faithful when you're tithing, start today. Don't wait until you pay off the credit card bill. If you're going to start coming to church every service, don't wait till next week. Start on Sunday. If you're going to start being a good employee, start tomorrow morning. Come on, somebody. If you want to take your dream vacation, don't wait until somebody else to plan it. Get you a passport. Start saving for it. That's a seed. You're planting seed. I'm trying to teach you some things in the church and out of the church. If you need to get baptized, you need the Holy Ghost, don't wait till next week. Don't wait till Sunday. Do it tonight. If you need to ask somebody for forgiveness, Do it tonight. Pick up the phone, call him and say, tonight, whether you know it or not, I'm asking you to forgive me. Because someday or one day may not come. Garages are filled with stuff because somebody said, well, someday, one day. Closets are filled with stuff because people said, one day or someday, I want a seat of a stewardship. If you need to finish college, one class is better than no class. Well, I thought I would at least have got a hand clap from that. If you need to get out of debt tonight. Go home, tear up those credit cards, and come back and say, you know what, next Wednesday, I'm going to apply the principles. You know what? If you need to, you haven't read the Bible, get the Bible out of the coffee table, dust it off, open it up, and read Genesis 1 and 1 before you go to bed. And guess what? Start. Don't wait till next month. Start tonight. Well, and I close with this. Everything we need, He provides. Don't need to seek anywhere else. We have the seeds of stewardship. Would you lift your hands unto the Lord as they bless us in song? The altars are open tonight. Would you come one, come all? The least we can do is thank the Lord for the time He has given us tonight to worship. That's the bare minimum. Hallelujah! Spirit, break out!
Spirit, break out!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I want to be a good steward, oh God.
Our Father, all of heaven grows your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth.
Hallelujah. Somebody 100% participation tonight. Plant that seed in the ground, Jesus. There we go. Make an altar at your seat or at the front or wherever, but the least we can do is thank the Lord for the breath that He gave us today. Thank Him. You don't have to come to the front, but wherever you are, thank the Lord. What is life but a vapor? Here today and gone tomorrow. So it's not your time, it's God's time. Jesus. Help me tonight, oh God. Consider the days, God, and the time, the talents that I have. To let it be used for your glory and your honor.